KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
And I'm Charles Mike Simpson again in today for Margaret. 6 days. Oh, God, we've been counting down every day, haven't we? 6 days before Election Day. Yeah. And voters in L.A. County will decide on a measure that will probably have more direct impact on their lives than who wins the presidency. Measure G, as in, I don't know, well, G, will transform how the county is governed. We heard a couple of weeks ago from one county supervisor who supports the measure. Now we will hear from another county supervisor who thinks it's a bad idea. But first,
Vice President Harris responding to the controversy over President Biden's garbage comments about the Trump supporters. She says she disagrees with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. Harris says she'll represent all Americans, including those who don't vote for her. Biden made the comment in response to that comedian's joke about Puerto Rico at the Trump rally. White House says Biden wasn't referring to all the Trump supporters, just that comedian. They say there was some sort of apostrophe issue.
Apostrophe as in?
Like there wasn't one. Yeah.
Okay. Vice President Harris picked up an endorsement from California's last Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He says that he will always be an American before a Republican. He acknowledges that he doesn't really do endorsements, but understands that people want to hear from him because he is both a celebrity and a former Republican governor.
Here's another endorsement. Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin endorsing former President Trump. He cited Trump making space exploration a priority while he was in office, said he was impressed to see how human space exploration was elevated as a policy of high importance again.
Los Angeles County is the biggest in the country in terms of population, about 10 million people, you know, all those people that you keep bumping into in the 405. There are five elected supervisors to oversee the entire area, but that could change soon. Measure G would expand the Board of Supervisors from 5 to 9. It would also create a new county executive who would be elected, and so basically kind of like a mayor. Three supervisors have endorsed it, including Lindsay Horvath, who was in studio with us a couple of weeks ago in support of the measure. Today we have with us Supervisor Catherine Barger, who is against it. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let me ask, first of all, there was a quote that I saw the other day from one of your fellow supervisors, Janice Hahn, who said because of this Measure G that she had not in her some 8 years, I think she said, being a member of the Board of Supervisors, she had not seen as much division, friction, as she is seen now. Is that true? And isn't that kind of a pity?
It is a pity, and I can't speak for why Janice made that comment. Obviously, you know, I'm very disappointed at the way this was played out at the board level. This is a measure that's supposed to be about transparency and actually accountability, and it was done in secret with no transparency, but more importantly, with no input by stakeholders or even the public.
So when you say in secret, you mean the other three? Were they like in a room somewhere? And where were you?
If there were three, it'd be a violation of the Brown Act.
Okay.
So allegedly just two.
So just the two.
Okay.
But clearly, my sense is there were three that were standing tall behind it. And my frustration was that Supervisor Holly Mitchell is the one that brought this forward as it relates to expanding the board. Never was an elected CEO included in the discussion. And in fact, when it was brought to the board about a year and a half ago, it was agreed that we should have an independent study in terms of what the number would be. 7, 9, 11. Of course, I don't know that necessarily people have an appetite for bigger government, but so be it. Let's look at it. And so to have literally, you know, July 3rd, I believe, 2nd or 3rd, right before the 4th of July, this drops. And it threw me off because I literally had just been talking to one of my colleagues that's supporting this, and there was no mention of it.
So you were sitting there going, okay, I'm expecting this, and then all of this other stuff shows up.
Absolutely, and you know, I say this, the term limit, or the expansion and the ethics are the Trojan horse for the elected CEO. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, especially in politics, either you have ethics or you don't. A commission's simply going to make it a little more difficult. We've seen that at L.A. City. L.A. City has an ethics commission.
But isn't that the idea of having, if you have an ethics commission or whatever you want to call it, to make it more difficult is the point, isn't it? To make
Absolutely.
It more difficult for people to do things that maybe they shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely. And that is why I brought in the motion to explore what and how we go about developing a commission. And I know that, there was sticker shock by all my colleagues, because the estimate right now is it's $8 million one-time startup funds to pass Measure G and implement it. We just found out the Ethics Commission is going to cost about $21 million. And that's ongoing. That's not one time. That's ongoing. And that's not including the CEO and the staff needed for this elected CEO, who, oh, by the way, is got full veto power, no term limits. So and actually, the board is, under this measure, is moving the power away from the Board of Supervisors into one individual. And so this presentation to people that this is going to give better representation throughout the county is, in my opinion, disingenuous at best, lying at worst.
Lindsay Horvath described it more as like checks and balances between you all and this elected CEO or this county executive. Is it? It's not that?
Absolutely.
In your view?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think my frustration is that people don't understand exactly what it means. And I, quite frankly, think the authors don't understand exactly what it means.
But there are. I mean, I looked it up, and I used to live back east. You have large counties like on Long Island and off New York, Nassau and Suffolk counties, that have, in effect, a board of supervisors, and they have an elected county executive. It's called something different, but it's basically an executive and a legislative body for the county. They've always had that, and it works just fine. So why wouldn't it work fine here?
So first of all, 10 million people, and when people say, you know, the board, five queens, as they call us, representing 10 million people, I feel like doing a civics lessons. Our job is the unincorporated. We are, the city council and the mayor for the unincorporated, which is about a little over about 1.4 million, not 10 million. And what I say is with the 88 cities, you get two for one. You get your city council that you're voting for that is, in fact, your direct contact on government. And then you get a supervisor who oversees, the policy to register our recorder, the hospitals, mental health, children's services. And I truly do believe that this elected CEO is going to politicize the county in a way that no one's ever seen. And it's going to actually marginalize disenfranchised communities, especially unincorporated areas.
But when you say that, give me an example. How would that happen?
How would that happen? You divide it, let's say, by it's going to be by nine if it passes, which I hope it doesn't. And you've got nine supervisors who have no authority over department heads, because they report directly to the CEO, who, oh, by the way, hires and fires. And you are representing an area in North County, my district, up in the Antelope Valley. And you need road funds, but you are competing with eight other people to try to get the money up there. And you've got to go through the CEO, who's one individual who's going to make that determination whether that money's going to go up there or not. And I can just tell you, even as one of five, pleading that case with limited resources is difficult. But when I have to go through a CEO who's an elected official as well, who's going to look and say, possibly he or she's going to say, up in the Antelope Valley, you know, there's maybe 100,000 people. That's not a lot of votes. Whereas, you know, I'm going to focus on certain areas like the West Side, where I've got the votes and I've got the money. So when I want to run again, I'll win. I mean, this is my fear about this county. And it's not going to go into effect until 2030 for the expansion and 2028 for the elected CEO. So why the rush? And I say to people, this is not about me. I will be termed out. This is about all of us. As the longest serving county employee, not a supervisor. So when the Measure G people say a bunch of politicians, first time I've been elected, I'm the only one on the board that has never held an elected position prior to this. So I'm far from that. I am all about leaving this county better than I found it. And this measure is poorly written, not well thought out. You know, the irony is the city's got things on the ballot where it actually came from the bottom up. There was no input. This was done by a select few. And I believe it's being pushed through because there's a hope that you're going to have a lot of people turn out to vote. And they're not going to know what they're voting for, because oftentimes people don't really read the fine language underneath the title.
Well, if you could, would you split off the size of the board from this exec? If you could wave a
100%
magic wand and let people just vote on, because there seems to be an appetite for 100% more supervisors with that idea that you mentioned earlier, bringing it a little bit closer to people. Because when you say the five queens idea, you know this is a powerful gig.
And if power sometimes can go to your head. It hasn't gone to mine. But yes, 100%. That is why I bring up Holly Mitchell, who has wanted to do this from day one, and wanted the number to be right and to really accurately reflect what her intent was, and that is to give marginalized communities better representation and a better voice. Never was it her intention to include an elected CEO who actually is going to take that away.
By the way, when we talk about the five queens, you don't have a throne or anything, right?
No.
Just to make it clear.
I have to tell you, you know, I pride myself on the fact that, you know, I don't forget where I came from. And obviously, you're right, this is a powerful seat. But I feel honored and fortunate to be representing the 5th District. And don't look at it that way, although you're right. There are those that look at this and think this is one of the most powerful seats in the
Everybody wants this job, yeah. Everybody runs for it.
This is Countdown 2024.
On KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Here we are on a Wednesday, along with Charles Feldman, Mike Simpson in for Margaret Carrero.
And we continue our discussion in studio with L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger. You were talking a little bit before the break about wanting to, when you leave office, leaving the county in a better place. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the homeless problem, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that is a problem that seems to just be insolvable by any politician, whether it's Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative. And it's probably still a little bit too early to tell whether or not in the city of Los Angeles, Mayor Bass's programs are really being very effective. But it is a problem that is intractable. It is a problem, as you know, throughout all the cities of the county, or at least most of the cities of the county. And it doesn't seem like anybody really has a solution.
Well, Redondo Beach just announced that they have I don't want to say zeroed out.
It's like functional zero.
Yeah, functional zero. But it is daunting, no question about it. But I believe what's changed, and I've been working on this issue for a long time and have gone back and forth with people, because if you don't get to the root cause of what is creating this growth on the street, we're never going to fix it. And housing alone is not going to get us out of it. Although housing is a real issue, supply and demand, we don't have the supply to meet the demand.
But there are people on the street, as you know, who housing is not the answer.
And that is the category that I've always been focused on. That's where I cut my teeth in the county, and that's mental health and substance abuse. And I think there is a direct correlation, even though I've gone back and forth with one of the newspapers in this town. I think, you know, the one that's under scrutiny right now.
Gee, I wonder which paper that could be.
Okay. But saying that, you know, that Prop 47 may not have been the sole reason why we've got a growth on the street as it relates to the substance abusers, but it definitely contributed to it. It took away our ability to do a drug court, took away our ability to really dangle a carrot and get these individuals that are addicted into treatment and into care. And so I'm hoping that Prop 36 passes, which will not do away with 47. It will definitely, though, put some meat or some teeth back into the law that will allow us to actually address what's going on in our streets. And on the mental health side, I take my hat off to the governor. 15 years ago, no one would touch mental health. If you even talked about changing the definition of gravely disabled, everyone would run. And he has taken this on and in correlation with the unhoused on the street. And so I remain hopeful. The mayor has been incredible to work with, something that has not been done in the past. It's always been, it's their fault, it's our fault, it's your fault. And finally, we're all saying it's all of our fault. We need to work together, and we need to make sure the resources spent are spent in a way that reflects the needs in the communities, and that means it's not a one-size-fits-all.
There's also the ballot measure for the sales tax for the homeless, you know, double it, make it permanent. Do you think people think that we can fix this problem? Because, and I brought this up when your colleague Lindsay Horvath was in here, the polling shows, okay, yeah, we'll vote for this, but then when you look at the follow-up question, it's actually, do you think it's going to work? And people overwhelmingly go, no, I don't think so.
So, you know, it's half-cent, but a quarter of that is just in continuing the measure, not just, but it's continuing measure H. The other quarter cent is going toward the housing component, something that, again, supply and demand. We do not have enough affordable housing to meet the needs right now. And this is focused on the affordable housing. Of course, I'm focused on the missing middle, because I know people whose kids are moving out of state because they don't qualify for affordable, but they sure as heck can't afford the market the way it is. But the other side of Measure A will address the housing component, something that, again, Supervisor Mitchell is the lead on, that will help us create an inventory of affordable housing because it'll give us liquidity necessary to get builders in to build the housing, something that right now, with interest rates and all, has been very, very difficult.
Is there, as part of the solution, a return to what years ago throughout many states was for people who were suffering from mental illnesses, and there's no way to sugarcoat it, basically forced institutionalization. That was stopped for civil liberty reasons around the country, but it did keep people who were sorely in need of help off the streets and being given medical and psychiatric care.
So I don't see us going back to that, and I'll tell you why. Medicine has really advanced. You know, during that period, I mean, I never thought I'd see the day when someone can get a shot in lieu of taking a pill every day and address their mental illness or whatever the issue is that the doctor, you know, the medication is for. I see more of a balance now. And I believe it is achievable. Our frustration now is that if you've got 16 or more beds, you can't get reimbursed by the federal government. You know, I'm hoping the governor will ask the federal government to give us a waiver. Because if you go out to one of our hospitals, all of you, which is one I worked on, we've got five different facilities, 16 beds, all run by different operators. That is not efficient. That's our way of getting around the mental health laws. We need to build capacity within the community, and understand we're also competing with the jails. We're also competing with the jails who need mental health beds. So we have to build the infrastructure to support what I'm talking about. That is the root cause of what's going on our street. And to your point, these people are not accepting housing, and they don't understand that they are a danger to themselves.
Chiquita Canyon, the smelly landfill, there was a big meeting the other day. I know you know because you were there. There were some boos. It seemed like people either A, thought there wasn't enough being done in terms of their health concerns, or B, that they almost really didn't believe that this place is ever going to close down. So what do you say to them?
Well, obviously I'm not the most popular person up there. There's got to be someone to blame, and I'm willing to be the punching bag. But for me, it's not diminishing my commitment to hold Waste Connections, the operator, accountable, and to address the not only the odor, because it's more than just an odor, it's the toxins that are being emitted into the air, and legitimately understand and empathize with the fact that people are suffering up there. There is no question about it. I heard story after story. So my focus continues to be what it was from day one. I have been working hard with the state and federal government, who have been phenomenal, to address this. They're pushing me to do a state of emergency. I'm old school in that I don't want them to think that a state of emergency is going to change what we're doing, because it's not. And the state's already said it doesn't rise to that level. But the state representative and the Congress person that was up there made promises that if a state emergency is enacted, that they're going to achieve. And if that's going to help the community, so be it.
And very quickly and lastly, on the national elections, are you worried about Election Day and the aftermath of Election Day?
I'm always worried about Election Day. I'm worried about it from the standpoint, whoever wins, I say this, the federal government sneezes, the state coughs, and the county gets the cold. And it's important for us to work with whomever it is, whichever party, because at the end of the day, we have to deliver for our constituents.
I feel like I should reach for a tissue now. Okay, Catherine Barga, thanks for being with us. Coming up in tomorrow's Countdown 2024, everyone is paying attention to the presidential race, but what about all the local measures on the ballot, like Measure G, and all those judges you don't know? Long list of options may look daunting, but will help you make the most informed decisions on them. Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU. There we go. Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice. LLS, more letters, lls.edu/radio.